This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As the world tries to contain the spread of COVID-19, many organizations have been ordered to shut down or operate from home. This has caused a variety of challenges to the entire business operations, but none more so than communications. While some companies are used to the remote working concept, many are actually struggling to find their feet to keep their operations running. And on the phone with me today is Andrew Fry of Whisper, an organization that helps businesses in crisis communication, to talk to us about how to ensure an open communication strategy. Andrew, perhaps a brief intro about yourself first.
Hi, Jeff. My name's Andrew Fry. I work currently as the Vice President of the Asia Business Operation for a company called Whisper. And what Whisper does, and what the team here based in Singapore do, is we help organizations, both government and enterprise and medium-sized business throughout Asia, effectively manage their workflow communications for the business. And what that means is, think about all the things that businesses and government do in terms of communicating with their stakeholders, whether that's citizens or staff and customers. We help automate those workflows to get better engagement outcomes so that people can understand and communicate effectively to achieve the business purpose or for the government communication purpose. And then a time like this with COVID, obviously clear communications and actions as a result of those communications is very important to manage the country's response to COVID.
Now, before we dive into that area, Andrew, how's the situation over there for you in Singapore in light of the recent events and also, you know, current situations globally with COVID-19?
Well, I think in Singapore in particular, the response appears to be very well managed and controlled. I mean, I think the health authority has been very effective at communicating frequently and clearly to the citizens. I mean, for example, there's almost two or three times daily WhatsApps are being communicated to citizens who have registered for daily updates on the COVID status and where the clusters may be. That helps relieve anxiety. And from a business point of view, we saw an early response from enterprises activating partial BCP or business continuity plans quite early in the outbreak for Singapore in particular, which means that often staff were deployed in split operations. So maybe a large call centre may work half team from one location, another half from another location, and that's progressed over time into more work from home. So truly distributing the workforce to minimise contact, which has been quite effective and well managed to date with observably very little impact to the business operations for those businesses so far.
You know, Malaysia, we're going through the movement control order where it is basically, you know, shut every private and government businesses down, only leaving for the essential services to operate. And that has, I guess, you know, many people have then now moved to online services to go about their day-to-day work. But yet, I think many are struggling at the moment, especially with the variety of platforms and services. Could you explain a little bit more about why do you think some do struggle to adapt to this shift, especially in the pace of the shift?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think there's probably three areas that really centre the struggle for that kind of rapid movement. And one of those is the level of cloud adoption. I mean, generally, to enable an enterprise to work very quickly in a non-centralised or on-premise systems point of view can be very difficult unless you've already started on that journey and are already using distributed tools, like, you know, even simple things like offline or cloud-based email systems, instant video conference systems, data storage systems, just to enable organizations and staff to keep communicating with each other effectively. I think the second thing would be just mobile working, how ready an organization is to have their majority or even the entire workforce working from an alternate location. Simple things often come up. For example, does their mobile phone plan support a certain amount of data? Do they have Wi-Fi access where they are? Do they have a laptop or are they mobily ready to perform their function from anywhere effectively? Often businesses have parts of their workforce which are mobile facilitated. But in a situation like this, where pretty much all staff need to be effective outside the office, it does provide quite a challenge for businesses to be ready. And the third area I would say is just generally is security. Again, a situation where the data and privacy controls that businesses must comply with isn't necessarily contained within the four walls of their business and standard business operation, how do they adequately continue functioning and make sure that all actions are still auditable and data privacy is still a paramount concern, for particularly for industries that deal with personal data of citizens or customers? So I think those three things particularly tend to contribute to the challenge of moving, you know, so quickly to full remote operations in a situation like this.
You know, Whisper has spent the last two decades helping organizations in crisis communication. What are the areas that will really test organization at this point in time?
I think from our experience in this area across many industries, whether it's government or enterprise or small businesses, I would say, first of all, communicating is not just about one-way telling. So there's a difference between notifying and engaging and actually allowing the people that you're sending communications to receive it, to know that they've heard it, and importantly, that they have a vehicle to respond. And that's very important when you're in a crisis communication situation, for the communication initiators to have clear insight to what's happening at the edge of the organization, which is all of those staff or customers, and what they need or what they respond with, and how do you then use that fact-based information, which is coming back through the organization to you, to evolve more quickly to the changing situation. In a situation such as COVID, as we've seen, the situation is changing literally daily. And unless you've got a clear two-way channel of communication across whatever channel that might be, whether it be SMS, voice, email, WhatsApp, etc., then you don't really have all the information at hand to make the right decisions quickly. And that's what we see as one of the paramounts in a crisis situation, is allowing free-flowing, consistent communication from the edge of the organization right through to the decision makers or the crisis managers, if you like.
Is there a framework for crisis communication?
There is a couple of areas to look at. I mean, from a framework point of view, there's a number of different models. I think where they tend to all point to, though, is number one, preparation, and to have a plan. And the planning can vary by size of organization. I mean, just by having thought about a scenario and how your organization may respond to it, that alone is often put you 10 steps ahead of any other organization that may have not have done so. The second thing is to pre-template communications, because at the time the situation is evolving, that's the wrong time to be trying to get approval for some content or a tone or some communications that are going to go out. To pre-template those communications means that you're ready to respond confidently, quickly, and then as you're receiving insight back from the edge of the organization, you can quickly tweak things and keep communicating on the fly. In terms of what Whisper does as a company and a platform, for example, we've offered to all of our existing customers 12 ready-made templated communications models specifically in response to the COVID situation right now. So it's an example of where, you know, our current customers literally can take a library of templates, just tweak it a little bit for their own circumstances, and be immediately into communicating two-way to their audiences.
I'm speaking to Andrew Fry of Whisper, talking about how to keep an effective communication level during this period of crisis. Stay tuned, we'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and with me today on the phone is Andrew Fry, the VP of Asia for Whisper, talking about creating an effective communication strategy during this time of crisis. Andrew, while COVID-19 might be unprecedented in many areas, are there still learnings from the past that we could actually use as a guide on how businesses can still operate efficiently?
For sure. And I think one of the things that is rarely thought about in crisis communications is that, particularly for a crisis which is going on for some time, is this is not a drill. And I think many organizations certainly prepare, they certainly perform maybe some business continuity testing or drills. Those drills tend to be focused on more of a compliance tick or to demonstrate the technology and the staff are aware of what to do in a crisis. But actual crises, as we're experiencing right now, don't happen in a 1 or 2 hour block or a 1 day block. This is going to go for months, right? And so in that kind of environment, the ability to continually evolve your communications and learn as you go based on the insights you're getting from your edge of the organization is very important. So drilling is very different from actually running a crisis. And one of the differences in practice from the months of communication can be, for example, things like auditing the communications. When you want to learn about what happened last month, or if there's a case that's been identified in the vicinity of your building, for example, and contact tracing may be required, how do you quickly get a view of who communicated with who met with who in the last 2 weeks, and be able to report on that so you can satisfy a statutory reporting requirement or request, or for your own staff response to a case being identified in the vicinity of your location, for example. So often those types of aspects are not always inspected when you just do a drill, but in a real crisis, the reportability of the communications you've sent and at what time and by which group of people often becomes very important.
You know, Andrew, early on you mentioned about how communication shouldn't just be a top-down approach during this time. What do you think are some of your other guiding principles for effective communication during this outbreak?
Well, look, there's a number, Jeff. I think, first of all, I think to what I said earlier is it's not about just a notification. There's a bit of structure to it, and it's about engagement. So if I think through a number of points, number one would be to think about engagement with all of your stakeholders, because it's not just staff. You have customers, you have suppliers, your executive teams who have maybe different types of communications required, and in some cases regulatory or government reporting requirements. So all of these stakeholders are important in a crisis response, and that's where the pre-temperature communications can really assist with that diverse set of stakeholders. You wouldn't talk the same way to a customer as you would to staff, for example. Second thing is to deliver consistent, standardized communication so that people know when to expect it. It's coming out at a similar time at every day or every week on a similar channel, and it's structured in a way that it reduces anxiety and, to your early point, reduces confusion. Often we need to over-communicate than under to make sure the message is heard and there's not slightly different information being shared from different news channels, for example.
So when it comes to, you know, the shift to work from home and this, you know, that speed and I guess the sudden shift that has happened in businesses, you know, we talked about how businesses are struggling early on. How do you think, like, they can adapt to this change as swiftly as possible with so many areas to now look into? What's the approach here? Should they look at this as a band-aid approach to do this, you know, this shift as a temporary measure, or actually look this as a long-term measurement and actually change the way they operate their business day-to-day, even past COVID-19 outbreak?
Oh, look, absolutely. I think there's no question that to enhance the resilience of your workforce in terms of how you can continue operating regardless of the scenario, it may not be COVID, you know, next year, that kind of thing. So I think to effectively run your organization in a remote mode means that you've built massive resilience into the company. So anything you invest now will definitely pay forward in flexibility and agility. And I mean, we see to help organizations be effective with remote working, apart from the technology side, there are also some very simple things to put in place. For example, the simple fact of, if I'm having a remote team, then I have a daily stand-up at 9 a.m., for example, and I review what was done yesterday and I review what's going to be happening today going forward. Have video calls, turn video on, make it a requirement of joining the call. It's incredible how much teaming and collaboration happens, particularly in a time like this where everyone can see each other, we're all in the same situation, and there's a daily cadence to when we catch up, so people aren't wondering, if I'm working from home, when am I supposed to talk to my team, and just provide a little bit of structure, very simple, 15 minutes a day, and some other techniques I've seen deployed are things like, for example, a weekly wellness get-together where everyone joins a video call maybe for half an hour at a lunchtime, and they can do some in-home exercises or yoga or, you know, some other extracurricular type activities. We just keep the team, it kind of replaces what can otherwise be that inter-office discussion and contact is with another vehicle, even though we're working remotely, to keep the ad hoc communications running between the teams as well.
But there are security issues, I guess, right, Andrew? Because a lot of these employees are now, you know, bringing some of the sensitive information into their home, which, you know, may not have the best, IT security practices in place.
Yes, correct. And there's the best way to deal with that is to effectively expose the right systems to the right people at the right time. And you think about, for example, if we're communicating with customers via WhatsApp or SMS or email, then there's ways to allow certain individuals in the organisation who are authorised to do so to send those templated communications in this period and not have to expose maybe some of the personal information to individuals that don't need it. And there's certainly tools out there. Whisper provides a platform to do just that, for example. But you know, be able to segment roles and responsibilities effectively is very important to ensure that security is still protected. And it's certainly possible with technology available today.
Andrew, what would be your message to the individuals and business owners, around the world during a time like this?
Well, I think to boil it down, I'd say number one is you mitigate your business operations risk by just over-communicating. Always err on over-communicate and under-communicate. You can't go too far wrong with the stakeholders that are important to you and your business. Keep it frequent. Keep it standard. Try to address communications channels you do believe your stakeholders will use. So we're seeing a lot of WhatsApp communication, a lot of SMS, a lot of web apps being deployed beyond just email alone. I think you may have seen too, there's quite a lot of influx of email-driven communications from many customers and suppliers at the moment. To the point where it's already becoming we're becoming sensitized to that kind of volume of communications. We're still looking to seek cut through, deliver into a channel where the stakeholder actually will look at, engage with you on that channel, and then you've got visibility at the edge of your organization and you have control over what's been sent when for auditability in the past. So really, bottom line is that, you know, if there's a vacuum, people get anxious, but if there's communication, people won't know where to come. And there's always a channel to engage.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much and stay safe.
Pleasure. Thank you, Jeff. You too.
And that was Andrew Fry of Whisper talking to us about communications during crisis. If you missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast now on the BFM website or the BFM app or even on Spotify. You'll also be able to find more COVID-19 related stories. My name is Jeff Sandhu. Stay at home and stay safe. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.